All right, joining us now, he is the president of the Utah Jazz, but also a really good dude as well. Jim Olson, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jim, you haven't had anything exciting going on lately. How are you holding up? Jimmy, there?
I'm here. I'm sorry, Scotty. You know me and technology. How you doing?
We're doing good. How are you holding up over these last crazy weeks?
Oh, man, we're holding up great. I mean, what an exciting time for the whole state of Utah.
Hey, I don't want to start the interview this way, but I kind of feel pressed. Is there any leftover J-Dogs that you need to get rid of? Like, did you take home a bunch? Or?
Hands, don't ask me that. I left the building, and I saw you with a backpack full of J-Dogs. You don't get any more than the 40 you had in your backpack.
You saw me with 25 tinfoil wrappers. That's what you said.
I did. And you ate them all that night.
Oh, man, I do love those J-Dogs. How incredible was that event? And what did you think of the turnout and the show up and how Utah represented?
You know, it's really interesting. On one hand, you're like, you're just blown away at how amazing it was. And then on the other hand, you step back and you say, no, this is Utah. This is what Utah does. This is how we are. This is how we respond. And I mean, we just sat there and watched the crowd roll in, and not only just the crowd, but their energy and their excitement. And they start, you know, they get the chants going, and the players are in a back room and they're hearing it in the back room, and you see their eyes getting big. I mean, it was, but that's how Utah is, right? That's just how we do things here.
When you hear the response from players and coaches that are coming from Arizona, and there was a great write-up in The Athletic today where I can't remember exactly where the story was, but one player told the reporter that it feels like we're in the NHL again. It felt like we're in the NHL again. Now, again, that's not bagging on the Arizona or the situation down there. It is what it is. But when you got that response and you were able to interact with the coaches and the general manager, the head coach as well, what was their impression? Because it seemed like they were as blown away as anybody by the response that happened that night.
Well, you know, kind of a same situation. I think they came here hoping, you know, for NHL, hoping for the response of the fans, but until you see it, you just don't know. And I mean, I go back to, you know, Bill Armstrong, the GM, I go back to his comments on the stage, just saying, you know, how heartfelt it is. And, you know, to see this type of response and, you know, talking to Bear, you know, coach after, and he was just like, his comment was the best. He said he'd been in the NHL for 7 years, and this is the best day he's had yet. I mean, and it's so sincere. They just feel it deep. And I think you're right. You know, no knock on everything that happened in Arizona. It's just a tough situation. But for them to come and get to experience what they've already experienced, and it's just the beginning, right? We're so committed on making sure they have the greatest experience possible, and they're going to come and just bring the NHL to Utah. It's just really exciting.
Speaking of making it the greatest experience possible, you've got to have the greatest venue possible. And Scotty and I watched you mastermind and task a remodel of the Kurt Delta Center, and we were in the arena as it was being remodeled, and it was quite the thing, man. It was quite the thing watching the full-blown effort and how quickly that thing was able to turn around. Is this going to be just as simple, Jim, for you?
I mean, you're
funny, Han.
I mean, back then, I mean, that was a big deal. You spent $1 million a day in over a summer. That's a drop in the bucket compared to what you got going on now.
Yeah, you know, you're right, and you guys were a big part of what we did, and you know, back in 2017, and it was an awesome project and something we're really proud of, and we'll always remember. You know, hey, this one's even bigger. I mean, it's one thing to make the changes we did back then, but you know, Ryan Smith has challenged us and challenged the architects that we need to have the very, very best NBA and NHL arena. And, you know, what I mean by that is NHL and NBA arenas have different sight lines. And when you have to duplicate, you know, sports, things can start getting sacrificed. And the one thing we're not doing is sacrificing, you know, the sight lines and the fan experience. And so, yeah, it's even a bigger project. But, you know, we're up for it, and it's going to be fun.
So Again, if we take you down a path you can't go down, totally understand. You can change the subject quickly. But are there settled plans in place? I know you can't divulge what those look like and things like that. But have you kind of settled in on what you anticipate it's going to look like and what those plans will entail? Has that come down the pipeline yet, or is that still kind of in flux?
Well, there's a lot of work that still has to be done, and a lot of just creation and innovation and strategy and planning. But what I will tell you is we do know we're going to master that fan experience and those sight lines, and that we're going to create something that hasn't been done before.
So, Jim, I saw the video of I would say five, maybe six Jazz players that were at the NHL announcement. I saw Will Hardy was at the NHL announcement. As you guys took this to the Jazz, and now you got similar ownership in Jazz and the NHL, what was their response? What was Will Hardy's response? What were the Jazz players' response, if any?
No, there definitely was a response. They're excited. I mean, obviously, the outliers, Lauri Markkanen, couple Finnish players coming to town to play, and obviously it's an incredible sport in Finland where he's from, and he's a huge fan. And but the players across the board, we're just bringing another professional sport to the state of Utah, and that just raises the level of the state. It raises the level of awareness. It raises the level of things to do and excitement and entertainment and the highest level of sport that there is. And they get it. I mean, that's the world they live in, and they see, they see what it's going to do, not just, for them as fans, as sports fans, but for the entire state of Utah. So, yeah, no, they're fired up.
You know, we were part of that organization for so many years, and, we'd sit around.
Oh, you're still a part of it. Come on.
I appreciate that. But, you know, we'd sit around meetings, and, we'd always say, how great would this be, or how great would it be to add NHL and the franchise? When did you feel like throughout this process, you're like, holy smokes, this could actually happen? I mean, was there a moment where it just kind of dawned on you like, this isn't just a pipe dream anymore? This could really happen.
Well, it was really, down the final stretch. Ryan's been very public about his conversations with Commissioner Bettman over the years, and just, running the process. I wouldn't even say running the process, but just keeping the dialogue open. So then you start thinking, okay, maybe one day, we don't know what the expansion plans are for hockey, but, we'll be prepared when it comes. But boy, I'll tell you, just in the last little while, it happened fast, and fortunately, we were ready.
So we were listening to Ryan Smith on a national show, and he was talking about, at the time, it was 27,000 deposits for season tickets. I got to imagine it's probably closer to 30, and it was somewhere around 7% crossover with Jazz season tickets. As you've watched this play out, Jim, how separate is the NHL base, and I'm talking about tickets as well as maybe corporate and corporate dollars and corporate spent money, to the NBA and the Utah Jazz? Is it two different worlds?
Well, I think the way I'd look at that is first of all, we've crossed 30,000 deposits as of this morning. And so, that number just keeps growing, which is exciting. And we're going to come up with a plan to, get everyone an opportunity to see hockey games this year. And to your point, 7 to 10% of that is only crossover with Jazz ticket holders. And so it absolutely is a new fan base. I think, there's different levels. If it's ticket sales or sponsorship sales or whatever it may be, there's your hardcore hockey fan. There's your overall sports fan. I mean, I hear people say all the time, they watch playoff hockey, or they watch, some, depending on what team, they watch a certain team. But, I just think what our job is to do is identify what's the experience we want for the hardcore fan. What's the experience how do we want to take the fan that's occasional, but move them up to a little bit more than occasional, as far as the corporate infrastructure and their ability to support, listen, Utah's the fastest growing state in Utah, the best place to do business. We know a lot of our partners are already on board and excited about hockey, and we know it's going to bring some new partners to us too that want to get into the sports world. And so, you know, it's just we're going to have something for everybody.
I know Jim Olson, by the way, president of the Utah Jazz, joining us right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. I know you're a Utah guy, so this will resonate with you. But I remember that first year in the Pac-12, and everybody's all fired up about the Utes in the Pac-12, and it was the final non-conference game of the year, and Kyle Whittingham's doing a walk-off interview, and somebody asked him. I think it was the first game of the Utah played in the Pac-12 was in the Coliseum against USC, and he's like, "Yeah, it's been fun for our fans, but we got to prepare for USC. We got to prepare for this." And you could tell, like, the magnitude of what they were about to embark on was like, oh boy, we're in it now. So you have the party, you're celebrating, everybody's fired up, and it's an incredible accomplishment. But then all of a sudden you realize, like, you guys and this organization probably has one of the most difficult summers in organization history coming up. Like, what's the mindset of the crew over there going into what is going to be a pretty daunting amount of work going in and preparing for a professional franchise to start operations in a matter of 4 or 5 months?
You know, that's an interesting question, Scotty. I was talking to one of the presidents of one of the other NBA teams today, and he was kind of going down that path, and he said, you know, we had 9 months to roll out a G League team, and I know how much work that took, you know, to do that with the G League team. And he goes, you guys are going to do this in about 4 or 5 months. And, you know, it's NHL. And you know, theirs was basketball and basketball. Ours is basketball and hockey. But you know what? I guess there's two thoughts that I have. Number one, I look at our team that we have in place. And when I say our team, I mean our staff and the people that come in every day and work so hard and are so committed and have so much passion for what they do. Like, I mean, I'll bank on those on that team every single day. And, you know, part two of that is I'm just dumb enough to think we can pull this off and pull this off great, you know. And I don't know. The bad thing is I've been around too long, and the good thing is I've been around too long that I just know what we can do, and I know this organization can pull it off, and we're going to do it, and it's going to be a riot, and we're all excited.
You know, Jim, again, like, I know there's things that you probably can and can't or don't want to, but I am just curious, as a guy that wouldn't even know, like, I don't know how many zeros are in $1 billion, but when there's a $1 billion purchase, what is that purchase like? Like, does everybody pool their money together? Because I know there's partners, and then you just write a $1 billion check, or is there a bunch of attorneys and banks, or what's that process of buying a professional league like?
Well, you know, once again, Ryan's been public about this too. You know, it's the same ownership group as the Jazz. Everyone that went in on the Jazz with Ryan went in on hockey, and that's just really exciting. I mean, that just shows, you know, we mentioned it at the event on Wednesday that, you know, these partners, there are a few of them, and they're all from outside of Utah, and they're betting on Utah every time. And so I think, you know, what they saw and what they've seen in the, you know, 3+ years of ownership of the Jazz, they just knew this is the place that you want to do business. And yeah, you know, you let the lawyers do their work, you know, and it's hard work, but you get, you know, the lawyers are good, and they get the I's dotted and the T's crossed, and, you know, we get to have fun and go build it out. And it just comes when everybody wants the right thing for the right reason, and your intentions are pure and for the state of Utah and what's right, like, it comes together. And I think we've just seen another example of that today, or this, you know, in the last few weeks.
So obviously your center of attention is going to be on that arena and getting that up to par over the next couple of years to make sure that you have the best NBA and NHL arena in both those leagues. But I think it extends a little bit more. And I just, give us kind of your vision and the organization's vision of not just the arena, but what the downtown experience could eventually look like. Because we saw the renderings that Ryan Smith tweeted out, and I don't think that was just somebody having fun with Photoshop and put something together. I mean, I think that's you guys saying this is what we can really, you know, envision as not just being a great arena, but a great sports experience that expands several blocks of downtown Salt Lake City, correct?
Well, there's a lot of opportunity downtown. And, you know, I was born in Salt Lake. I still live in, and when I say Salt Lake, I mean actual Salt Lake City. And I still live in Salt Lake City, and I'm very biased to Salt Lake City and downtown Salt Lake. I think other than a handful of years of my life, I've lived in Salt Lake City, and it's the capital city, and we just have such a great opportunity, the Utah Jazz and NHL team in Utah, to help. I mean, Salt Lake City is great, but we're ready to take that next step. And as you know, as you look at renovating an arena, you're right. It goes beyond that. It's like we're going to have another 40 to 50 to 60 nights a year downtown. You know, years ago, one of our head of security made the comment to me. We're talking about a little security issue. And he said, you know, Jim, he said, every night that we have a game, it's like moving a small city in and out of the arena. And you think, okay, 18, 19,000 people, you're moving that many people. It's a small city. Well, we're going to now do that another 40, 50, 60 nights a year with hockey. And so if you're going to do that, you got to take advantage of it and say, what else does that mean? What does that mean with restaurants and retail and just experience? And, you know, I've been obviously watching some of these hockey playoff games, and it's the most, every time there's a goal for some of the venues, the first shot after the goal, they go to the crowd of like 5,000 people outside going crazy watching this goal happen. And I'm like, that's what we want downtown. And that's, and, but we need to invest, and we're going to do that. And, you know, really build a better experience for downtown Salt Lake.
Well, Jim, I was asked what my opinion on the new name should be. And I said it should be the Utah Olsons, and because I had you and I in mind.
I mean, you just spell it wrong. That's the only problem. We got to spell it a little different than the way you spell it.
Oh, hold on now, because we're going to Denmark for some actual hockey. So we're going to stay with the E in. I don't want to get too crazy. We're going to stay Nordic. But I want to know, how crazy is that process? And do you have a favorite in the fight?
You know, I don't. The process is going to be fun. I mean, the pub, Ryan's already announced the public's going to be a part of it. The fan base is going to be a part of it, and, you know, working on details there. My approach on things like this is sit back and kind of let some things play out. And I haven't developed a strong opinion, and I know there's a lot of strong opinions out there, but I'm going to enjoy the ride and see where this thing goes.
Yeah, you'd be surprised on Twitter. There are people that actually have really strong opinions on what you guys need to be doing with that. So
I'm shocked to hear that.
I know, right?
I did not know that.
Hey, we're asking you kind of, it's just, this is a unique thing, and I know it's unique for you, but we talk about the name, and you know, Hans and I, we're not big, you know, whatever you guys name it, we're cool with. Like, we don't have any strong opinions on that. But from a logistics standpoint, from merchandise and apparel and making sure everybody's wearing the right jersey on that opening night or sweater, I guess is the right terminology.
The sweater.
Sweater.
Yeah.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah. You know, like, you need time for that. So, like, what's the timeline? Like, because, again, there's a lot of us out there, like, you know, name it what you want. We're going to show up regardless. But for people to be able to invest and get the apparel and make sure your equipment guys have everything they need, like, that's something you kind of have to do pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we've touched on it that, you know, we're moving fast on a lot of things. But, you know, we always say, you know, it's better to get it right than to get it done fast. And so we'll get it right. I feel really confident about that. I think, once again, you know, bringing the fan base into it is going to make it a lot of fun. But, yeah, we can move fast at the same time. It's challenging, but once again, there's nothing. I know this team can get everything done, and I'm not worried for a second about their ability to get it done and get it done right.
What, by the way, has this been fun for you from a personal standpoint, getting to know, because you've been so entrenched in the NBA for so long, but now you're looking at what it's like from an NHL perspective on draft and free agency and timelines and salary caps and all that other stuff. What's that process been like for you to try to learn not just the sport itself, but also the intricacies of the business side of the National Hockey League?
Oh, it's been a riot. I've loved every minute of it. You know, the group at the NHL, they're amazing, and they've just been incredible. The group that's coming in from Phoenix, they've been incredible. You know, I mean, fact is, I actually am a hockey fan. I went to school back in Boston, and so, you know, I fell in love with hockey back then, and just, you know, fortunately, not 40, I'm definitely changing my allegiance for my team now. I now have a new team, but, you know, I've followed hockey, you know, since I went to school back in Boston. I've always loved the sport. And, you know, once again, when you have a passion about something, things come together and you can make them work. Mm.
Well, Jim, we kept you way too long. We appreciate it. Thanks for hanging out with us. Congratulations on all the news. Hans and I are here to help out with whatever you need. Feel free to hop on anytime, but you're hard-pressed to find two guys more excited about what you're building over there right now.
Well, you know what I think about you guys. You guys are great friends, and I appreciate you. And Hans, you haven't got me drafted yet. I keep watching the NFL draft board, and I haven't seen my name pop up yet. So you're falling short on your responsibility there, but I know you'll pick it up and get it done here.
What I'd suggest is just stay by the TV like I did on my draft night and be disappointed as your name never comes up. I'll call you right after the seventh round is over, and I'll be like, hey, look, it's okay. We'll get you in the free agency, and you'll be able to build that way.
Apparently, all you have to be is Michael Penix, and you get drafted a top 10, which I still have not wrapped my brain around. But
how about all those quarterbacks going that early? That was something.
Huh? Yeah.
They loaded up. So, man.
All right,
well,
Jim.
Listen, you guys are the best. I appreciate you getting me on. A lot of fun to talk to you.
Absolutely.
Always fun to catch up, Jim. Thank you.
There he is, Jim Olson, right here on 97.5 the EKSL Sports Zone, president of the Jazz. And
a lot of good insight there.
Yeah. Great human being, too.